Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily roundup of some of the stories our reporters have been covering across the UK and actually Ireland today too. We try to find some of the more talkable issues, not always the most serious stories of the day, often the lighter or more quirky, and give them a bit more time than we can usually fit into our hourly news bulletins. And in this packed episode, we've got a real variety of stories, from trains and cycling to cosmetic procedures and football. And what would you do with 250 million euros?
The amount of things you could do with, like, new house, a few holidays.
But we start with a very rare case, and that's sadly the death of someone in the UK from rabies. Now, the grandmother from South Yorkshire didn't contract it here, but there has still only been seven cases in the past 25 years where someone's been exposed to the virus abroad and then been diagnosed with human rabies. And there's been no UK originating cases for more than 100 years. But as I say, this lady did catch rabies abroad while on holiday in Morocco. She was diagnosed at Barnsley Hospital, where she later died. Our chief reporter, Chris Davis-Smith, has been following this for us this afternoon. Chris, what more do we know?
Well, Kat, Yvonne Ford was a grandmother from Barnsley. Her family say she was scratched very slightly by a puppy in February whilst visiting the North African country. She only became ill a couple of weeks back, though. In the end, she couldn't walk, talk or sleep before she passed away.
And is there any wider risk to the public at this point?
The UK Health Security Agency says not, because there's no evidence rabies can be passed between people. Yvonne's close contacts have been offered a vaccination as a precaution, though.
Thanks, Chris. Next, a transport issue that's literally been rumbling on for years. HS2 has been delayed again. The Transport Secretary has confirmed the already pushed back deadline of 2033 won't now be met. The Tories have admitted past mistakes as Labour accused them of blowing budgets and leaving the project in a mess. More from our political editor, Georgie Prodromou.
The Transport Secretary's called the project an appalling mess as she confirmed the delay.
It has been no less than a litany of failure. And today I'm drawing a line in the sand, calling time on years of mismanagement, flawed reporting and ineffective oversight. It means this government will get the job done.
Heidi Alexander says there's no route to making the 2033 deadline work, but hasn't confirmed a new date yet.
The priority is building the rest of the railway safely at the lowest reasonable cost, even if this takes longer. We've started the year-long task of fundamentally resetting the project.
Speaking to me earlier, Tory Shadow Minister James Cartledge had this to say.
When Rishi Sunak was Prime Minister, he recognised that the cost increased on HS2. He was very open about that. That's why he took the important decision in government to scrap the leg from Birmingham to Manchester and instead invest that money in other rail schemes, because we do need to invest in rail. We do need to help those parts of the country, particularly North and Midlands, who haven't had as much infrastructure investment. So, yes, we need to see the government getting a grip on the HS2 budget and ensuring we can deliver value for money for taxpayers.
The Transport Secretary has confirmed Phase 1, which is the route from London to Birmingham, will be going ahead. We just don't know when, and it's been promised they'll set deliverable targets.
Still to come on Behind the Headlines.
Is it a bit too much money, 250 million euros?
No, it's not.
How would you spend Ireland's biggest ever jackpot? And we take a look at next season's Premier League fixtures. But first, a member of Irish rap trio Kneecap has been bailed after appearing in court to face a terrorism charge. Hundreds of people turned out in a show of support for Liam O'Hanley. He denies the charge of supporting a proscribed terrorist organisation, namely Hezbollah. Our reporter Claire Bode was at court for us this morning.
There are hundreds of people here at Westminster Magistrate Court this morning, and you could barely move as members of Kneecap came and left the court. Supporters are holding up placards saying defend Kneecap, drop the charges, and the band then just joined a makeshift stage after the hearing to address their supporters. Liam O'Hanley is facing a terrorism charge after he's accused of holding up a flag in support of Hezbollah at a gig last year. The bands have denied supporting the terrorist organisation on social media, and Liam O'Hanley will next be in court on the 20th of August.
To Northamptonshire next, where you might remember the story of Harry Dunn, the motorcyclist who died in 2019. Now, police there have now admitted failing him and his family. The teenager was killed by a US State Department employee who was driving on the wrong side of the road near a military base. She pleaded guilty to causing death by careless driving in 2022, but only appeared via video link from the US. That was despite an appeal by the family for her to return to the UK. Our reporter Andrea Fox has more on this story for us.
Harry was killed 6 years ago outside RAF Croughton by Ansa Coulis, who then fled the country. He was just 19. A report into the handling of the case has made 38 recommendations, including that the force should have arrested Mr. Coulis and that the incident should have been deemed critical. Harry's mum, Charlotte Charles MBE, says the family have been treated extremely poorly.
I want the next family to feel like they can turn to their police force and trust them. And sadly, we couldn't trust one person in particular within our local police force.
She's talking about disgraced former Chief Constable Nick Adderley, who was also heavily criticised in the report. The family spokesperson is Rad Seeger.
We know he lied on his CV and should have never been Chief Constable, but at no point when he interacted with the case, which we now know he should never have done, did he add any value. He made things worse every time he touched that case.
The family found out through hearsay that Sekulis had fled the country the day of Harry's funeral. Here's Northamptonshire's Police, Fire and Crime Commissioner Danielle Stone.
One of the things that hurt the Dunn family so very, very badly was not being kept properly informed. We all make mistakes. We're human. What matters is about being honest and about giving timely information.
The force's Assistant Chief Constable Emma James has apologised to the family.
First and foremost, on behalf of Northamptonshire Police, I want to apologise to Harry's family for a clear failure on our part to do the very best for Harry and his family, who have fought tirelessly in the years that followed to achieve justice for him.
Six of the 38 recommendations have been suggested by the review to be taken on nationally.
Thanks, Andrea. Let's daydream now about what you'd do if you won millions in the lottery. Well, the winner of the Euro Millions has been advised to stay calm after they scooped 250 million euro. That's around £213 million. And it's the largest amount of money ever won on the island of Ireland, where the ticket is. These people on Grafton Street in Dublin have told us how they would spend the millions.
First thing's a holiday. I wouldn't be here anyway, that is for sure. Make sure everyone around me's okay. Anyway, that's the main thing. Down the west, I think I go buy a few houses down the west.
The amount of things you could do with it, like new house, few holidays.
I'd give money to my brother and sister, and I'd pay off whatever mortgage or whatever they had, and just treat us all because we deserve it.
Be here,
is it a bit too much money, 250 million euro?
It is not. No, it's not. We just have.
Maybe you're still in bed. We're on a private jet somewhere.
Definitely out of Ireland, and anyway, I tell you that for a fact. Nothing keeping us here, and anyway,
wasn't me.
Definitely moving away. Definitely. Have a big blow-off party. Yeah.
That'd be gone in a week, it would, with me, I tell you.
Coming up, we look at suggestions for making cycling safer on our roads.
Where we do have busy roads in Cambridge that have now got segregated cycle lanes, that really feels transformational.
But next tonight, we look at the issue of unregulated cosmetic procedures. The mum of a Bolton woman who almost died after a liquid Brazilian butt lift is backing calls for the government to take urgent action and regulate the industry. Janet's daughter Louise got her injections down in Essex. Just 4 days later, she had sepsis and had to have a life-saving operation. Earlier this week, her practitioner, Ricky Sawyer, was handed a ban stopping him from carrying out any cosmetic procedure for 3 years. Well, Janet's been speaking to our senior reporter, Olivia Davies, as Trading Standards reveal fat injections and BBLs are being carried out in hotel rooms and even public toilets.
She saw the celebrities advertising it, advocating it, had the backing, it was painless, and it roped her in.
We're hearing more now about these liquid BBLs.
Yeah.
Because obviously we hear how invasive and how dangerous the non-BBL operations are. So you lured in kind of thinking, oh, it's a liquid BBL, it sounds a bit safer, you know, like. And that is just not the case, is it? It is still just as dangerous.
There's quite a lot of facials that involve injections. So there's things like the Botox and the lip fillers. and they're all relatively safe to a point. So Louise was balancing her knowledge and that against the same thing. And it's advertised as pain-free, risk-free. And that's what she went with.
And what happened then afterwards? So she goes home. When does she realise that something's wrong and that, you know, she might need medical attention?
It was almost immediate. The pain was immediate when she had the injections. She couldn't walk. She had to travel back from Essex to Manchester. And then she actually collapsed. Louise was dying. She actually rang me, and the first I heard about it was when she rang me to say that she rang to say goodbye. The infection was so bad, the surgeon couldn't tell her what he was going to cut off. He didn't know whether it was going to be flesh, muscle, or a leg. Nobody should be put through that when they go for a painless beauty treatment.
What the government needs to be doing just to better protect, you know, the young people that are getting this done. Mm. How do they help fight this?
The government should regulate it. And they need to grade what the procedures are. So if somebody's having the nails done, that's one level. And then they need to bring in the legislation to say, well, what level of legislation do we need for this? And it could be training, qualifications.
The Department of Health say the government is looking into new regulations to protect people. A record amount of video footage has been sent to police by cyclists, mostly of them being overtaken too closely by motorists. The charity I Am Road Smart has seen figures which show more than 15,000 clips were submitted to forces in England and Wales last year, compared to just over 7,000 in 2021. Well, it's an issue our Devon chief reporter Andrew Kay has been looking into.
Last year, I cycled more than 3,000 miles, except more than 2,500 of that was indoors because I'm generally too scared to ride out on the roads. In fact, I'm sat on my bike now. It's actually on a special stand linked to a computer, and I ride virtually instead. And this report out today comes after a recent NHS meeting I attended where officials here in Devon talked about the rising cost of preventable conditions such as obesity, and they pointed out one of the reasons was partly because children are often driven to school and do less exercise. It's something that worries Torbay's cycling campaigner Beth Huntley.
We'd love to see more children and families able to cycle on our roads. And one of the ways you can help them to do that is being a little bit patient if you come up behind them. Sadly, vulnerable road users tell us that the number one reason for not cycling is because they don't feel safe.
And in fact, whilst not recognised by the council, Beth is now Torbay's cycling mayor, something recognised by a charity in the Netherlands to help to add weight to her campaign for better road safety here. Beth says it all started when her husband was injured in a close pass.
He was hit by a car travelling at over 60 miles an hour who misjudged a pass. Now he gets very frightened when cars pass him closely.
Across England and Wales, more than 15,000 video clips were uploaded to police last year, and of those, more than 2,000 came from Devon and Cornwall. Sergeant Owen Messenger is from Devon and Cornwall Police's road safety team.
You've got to think, OK, the cyclist is riding quite close to the gutter, so what's in the gutter? There's going to be debris in the gutter, there's going to be sticks and bits of flint that they don't want causing a puncture on their bike. There could also be a slippery drain cover, so they might move out to avoid that. It's about everybody sharing the road network because nobody's got any more priority to use it than anybody else.
And the figures out today from the charity I Am Road Smart show the number of prosecutions has risen as a result of more footage being uploaded. In fact, the latest stats show more than half of footage now results in some form of prosecution. That's up from just over a third back in 2021.
And finally, to many, it might seem like only yesterday that the football season finished, but anticipation is already building ahead of the upcoming campaign. Next season's Premier League fixtures have been announced today. Our sports correspondent Henry Winter's been taking a look.
Well, we of course have three new names on the fixture list this season. Burnley start away at Europa League champions Tottenham and also face Manchester United, Liverpool and Manchester City in their first six games. We've been speaking with Joe Redmond from the Turfcast podcast.
It's just relentless. It's just game after game after game where you're like, tough game, all really difficult game. Maybe get a point in that one. Oh, winnable game, tough game, tough game. So, yeah, look, it's going to be a long, hard season.
Fellow newly promoted Sunderland's first Premier League match in 8 years will be against West Ham at the Stadium of Light, while Leeds United, who won the championship last season, face Everton at home. Elsewhere, Liverpool's title defence begins at home to Bournemouth, while Arsenal visit Manchester United in the standout fixture of the opening weekend.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites. We're across social media. And don't forget to come back here tomorrow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.